You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Started 2 hours ago, Tom. Thanks for listening. 713-780-ESPN. Who had the best win in the NFL yesterday? Pretty terrible NFL weekend based on NFL standards. Like, none of these games were close. There weren't many games because everybody was on a bye. There weren't great matchups. It was kind of an uneventful Sunday.
So I think the Packers is the only option, right?
No.
For best win?
A lot of people on the text line.
Ravens?
Saying a bunch of different things and not the Packers and not the Ravens. The Ravens. Look at you trying to push up the Bears.
Jeremy, they're back to betting favorites for the North.
Are they really?
Yes.
That's crazy.
They're not betting favorites in the North if they don't win this weekend.
They had the best win of the weekend. They beat the Chicago Bears.
Not because of who they beat, Jeremy, because they needed a win desperately.
Yeah, Ravens look pretty good. You see Mike Florio's on this crusade to bury the Ravens because of this Lamar injury report thing. I can't stand Florio.
Okay, so I was anti-Florio. I was. But it's gone up a level. To hate.
He's the worst, man.
Since you really brought it up, now every single thing I see him do annoys me even
more.
Long
and like, Florio, man.
It's just, you influenced me.
I have three people on the Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
We'll see who the fourth is. And I think Florio might have passed Ravage for me. Because Florio's just messy. Ravage is just bad. Like, give me bad over messy, you know? So I'll go Florio at the top of the list. I'll go Ravage second. That Russini lady's third for me.
Oh.
I think she just makes stuff up.
Okay.
And it's been proven. Like, George Kittle called her out at the start of the year over something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's just throws stuff out there, man.
Yeah, and Florio's just like trying her. To... I mean, he's factual in that the Ravens could get punished for this Lamar Jackson thing.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't shock me if they face some level of punishment, but, yeah. Like, I think it's going to be like a little fine.
My favorite Florio thing is whenever he said Eddie George is going to be in the mix for the interim job, as he's the coach at a Division I university.
Yeah, and then also is now saying that the Titans ownership group has set them back 10 years.
Cracks me up. Cracks me. I can't stand Florio. Also, I think the Ravens just didn't want to play Lamar twice in five days, kind of like we touched on whenever he had originally got hurt. Like, I think he could have played. I think he might have even played if they played next Sunday. But I don't think they wanted to risk their franchise quarterback playing two games in 5 days based on a hamstring issue that he's coming off of.
Maybe they also just knew they didn't need him.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But, like, I wouldn't want to play my star quarterback two games in 5 days.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
We said that 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
Like, yeah, it makes total sense. But that was a good win. Where are you with the Bears now, Joe?
I'm concerned.
Concerned?
I'm concerned.
Concerned? Okay.
Yeah. I'm concerned.
Only one other AFC South game yesterday. Jags had the week off. Colts continue to roll.
Go Colts!
Cash or trash? The Colts have the best offense in the NFL, Joe.
Cash it.
Okay. Cash or trash? The Colts win the AFC South.
Cash?
Cash or trash? The Colts win a playoff game.
Cash.
Cash or trash? The Colts reach the AFC Championship.
Trash.
Trash.
What's their ceiling?
I think one playoff win.
I think their ceiling is reaching the AFC Championship game. Like, if they win one playoff game, it might get to the AFC Championship.
Because they might have the one seed.
They could.
And might be the wrong word.
I have a very difficult time, though, seeing Daniel Jones come out of the AFC, a conference that features Mahomes, Allen, potentially Lamar.
But the problem is they have Jonathan Taylor, who's a monster this year.
He's a freak. Three touchdowns in that game. I think their ceiling's reaching the AFC Championship. I don't see them representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. I have to stop short of that.
Yeah, I still want to see, because they've had the benefit of, for the most part this season, winning blowout games, right? Like, they only have the Denver game they won by a point. They barely beat Arizona.
Oh, no, they're only winning by blowouts.
No, but at some point that's going to change in the playoffs, right? Like, what is Daniel Jones going to look like when he has the ball with 2 minutes left and you have to score a touchdown to tie the game to go to overtime?
Yeah, that's kind of the same premise that I have. I agree with you.
I want to see it first. Like, maybe November 23rd, they'll be in that position when they play the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Like, what does it look like? What does it look like against the Texans? Like, no matter what the offense looks like here in Houston, we know the defense is legit. So, like, how does that play out? So, I'm not there yet with that Daniel Jones can lead a team to that level.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they can reach the AFC Championship game. That's the ceiling I have. Broncos kill the Cowboys 44-24. Broncos legit, yes or no?
Yes. I'm coming around.
Okay. Maybe I'm just biased. I don't like Sean Payton. Cowboys legit, yes or no?
Cowboys? No.
Okay. Who has a better chance to be a one-and-done coordinator, Nick Caley or Eberflus?
Eberflus.
I think so, too. I think he's hotter than Caley.
I think Nick Caley has a better chance to be back next season. I'm not sure Eberflus makes the season.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that's fair. Yeah, I think Eberflus's seat is at a 10, whereas Caley's probably... Like, Caley to the media and to the fans is probably like an 8. To D'Amico, it's probably like at a 5, I think.
Yeah, I think at best.
Yeah, he talks glowingly about Caley. I don't know if that's just like him defending him, but it seems like he's on his side, D'Amico. Packers too much over the Steelers yesterday. Steelers actually had the lead for a good chunk of this game, and then the second half happened, and then the Packers just woke up. It's hard to take the Steelers seriously.
Yeah, I'm struggling with that, but I think they're an average team. That's why the Ravens are back in the driver's seat potentially, like in terms of the betting odds. Because, like, no one thinks the Steelers are going to finish above 500 or more than a game above 500. It's not that good.
It's reputation.
Yeah.
It's reputation and some, like, catchy names, you know?
And it's just they're Pittsburgh, so people always assume Pittsburgh's defense is good.
You have Watt, you have Ramsey, you're the steel curtain. Oh, they must be really good defensively. No, they're not. That's the weakness of their team, actually.
Yeah, I mean, and Tucker Kraft ate them alive.
I know. He's a freak, though.
He's very good.
I love Tucker Kraft.
I guess there's I missed so the whole, like, grew up in a small town, played 9-on-9 football thing. I learned that.
I've never even heard of 9-on-9 football.
Yeah.
I've heard of 7-on-7, and I've heard of 6-man.
Yeah. They play 9-on-9 wherever he grew up.
Where did he grow up? Alaska?
I think South Dakota.
They play rugby there? That's
some
pretty much
town with, like, no stoplights but one restaurant. Yeah. They kept showing it over and over again on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, a restaurant that he owns.
Partially owns.
Yes.
Yeah, he has a piece of it.
He's
yeah,
so good.
He grew up in like in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I'm a fan of his.
Yeah, he grew up in South Dakota. They play 9-on-9 football because their schools are so small.
How high are you willing to go up on him whenever I say top quarter tight ends? Is he top 3?
I was going to say I'm comfortable with 5.
Okay, that's probably where
I'm at. Off the top of my head, I'm comfortable with 5.
Yeah. Yeah, I still like McBride more than him, but it's not by much. He's closing the gap there. Brock Bowers hasn't played all year, so it's tough to, like, where's Brock Bowers?
It's hard to put Brock back into that conversation.
Tyler Warren's been insane, but is he better than Kraft? Maybe. Like, that's a tough one. Kelsey, I think, has fallen off a bit.
Maybe it's top 3.
Laporta's pretty good, but is he better than Kraft?
I mean, Ferguson's had a great year, even though I know he only had one target in yesterday's game, which is bizarre with how much he's been targeted this season.
Bracket covered. Sean Payton took him away.
But
Kraft or Kittle?
Kraft.
Okay, then you both have them, I think, at worst, top 4.
I feel like I'm missing one that gets drafted pretty early.
Laporta?
No, I was thinking somebody else because I hit Laporta. McBride, Bowers. Who was going tight end 3 start of the year? Who was going tight end 4 start of the year? Was it Laporta?
It might have been either Laporta or Hockenson or Kelsey.
It could have been
I think it was Laporta. Could have been who?
Tyler Warren could have been going 4th.
No, he was a little bit later.
No,
what about Goddard?
Depending on when you were doing it.
Goddard was.
I think Goddard's probably like 10-ish. No, yeah, he's just asking where you rank him.
Because he doesn't have the yardage. He just puts up touchdowns.
Which, by the way, Eagles offense looking like they're getting right. Yeah. They're trusting Jalen Hurts to sling it around there. They didn't even have A.J. Brown, and they're still slinging it around. Now, the Giants' defense isn't very good. But the Eagles starting to get right. Story from this one, I think, was Scatta broke his leg.
Yeah, that ankle is destroyed.
Did you see it? There's no laughing matter, Brian. We're talking about one of the league's best rookies.
Then why don't you make that terrible
shattering
joke?
His leg in half.
Then
and you're sitting here playing the comedic sitcom audience canned laughter. The disrespect of you right now,
the
Brian, is
disgusting.
Was
from your terrible
Brian,
pun.
Brian, turn off your microphone. Let the talent talk. You're disgusting.
Let me know when the talent starts
playing
talking.
That laugh track. That's your go-to joke there. You gotta mix it up a little bit, Brian. You gotta mix it up. You gotta have a couple of counters. You can't go to the same counter every single time. It's easy to defend. Very predictable. But that was nasty. His leg was sideways.
Yeah, it was
Did y'all
gross.
See that?
It was gross.
It was disgusting.
We found out today, Big Dom from the Eagles brought him pizza and cheesesteaks to the hospital. So Big Dom, the hero of the story.
Yeah, I'm not. That guy's a weasel, though. I think he's trying to fatten him up so he's not that big of a competition in the future. I think that there's some ulterior motives at play.
By the way,
take that seriously.
Lamar Jackson's playing Thursday.
Yeah, that's what it was, man. Yeah. They didn't want him to play twice in 5 days. And oh, my goodness, injury report. They're going to lose draft picks and be fined multi-million dollars. And how dare they do this when we live in a betting world? Florio's the worst.
Well, I think he's using what happened in the NBA to really bump it up.
To fearmonger.
No, I think he's right in some capacity.
He's exaggerating.
Yes.
He's fearmongering.
Yes, yes.
Sensationalism at its best.
Like, they're going to change things in the NFL. Like, the NBA is going to change things with some of this stuff. But he's making it seem like the world is ending.
Yeah. It's insane. Pats destroy the Browns. Myles Garrett had 5 sacks in this game. They got beat by 19 points.
Yep.
How does that happen?
I don't know.
I think it was the first time that a player's had 5 sacks in a game and they lost by, like, more than a possession. And this one was 3 possessions.
I mean,
four possessions, actually.
I think it was first time they've lost by more than 3 points.
Okay.
It was even worse.
So bad, man. Does that happen?
Why didn't he just demand a trade?
That's the thing, though.
He did, though. Remember?
No, but then he signed a contract extension.
I know. It's on him, but he did demand a trade at one point.
Right, but the moment he signs a contract extension, the demand is done.
Because he was only demanding for the contract.
Yeah. Like, he gets to the podium. He's like, yeah, it's hard to get up here and, you know, have this game and our offense doesn't perform. You signed up for it, brother. What did you expect?
Yep. I feel no pity for players who decide they want to stay. Same thing with, like, Max Crosby right now, and I know he said he doesn't want to leave, but, like, no pity. You signed that contract, that's on you.
No.
But Tampa Drake Bay, May, awesome.
Yeah, he's really good. Although he got sacked 5 times by the same player.
Like, that's true.
Be a little elusive.
But
man.
He only got sacked 6 times in the game.
That's a lot.
I know, but it's not like he was getting sacked 10 times. It's all Myles Garrett.
Yeah, he's insane. Tampa beat up on New Orleans 23-3. Tampa dominated defensively. Kind of a quiet day offensively, but I mean, the other team scoring 3 points. There's no incentive to rack up a bunch of yards. New Orleans, I thought this was interesting that they benched Rattler for Shuck.
You think that's going to be – I wonder if they're going to make that full-time now. Give
Shuck
a shot?
My guess is they just wanted to take a look.
Yeah, but don't you want to give him a little more room, I guess? You drafted him in the second round. You're going to have a top 3 pick. Like, you're going to be in the quarterback conversation.
Yeah, but Rattler outplayed him.
So I guess you just go back to Rattler for this week?
Yeah, I don't know. It would be interesting to see how they play it. I mean, they also could be sellers over the next week too, you know, where they just go, okay, rebuild mode completely. Let's get a look at our second rounder.
Maybe Rattler's going to replace Joe Flacco if Joe Flacco's hurt. He's got a bump shoulder.
Rattler, that would be kind of entertaining because he can sling it around, you know.
Yeah.
He can throw it deep and stuff.
And
those
he
guys.
Can target Jamar Chase 30 times in 2 games.
And he can throw a deep ball.
Yeah.
I mean, Flacco can too, but, you know, Rattler's got that young blood. Bills over the Panthers, 40-9. Did you see James Cook's yards per carry in this game?
I saw it.
11.5 yards per carry.
He was awesome.
How does a running back who gets 19 carries have an 11.5 average?
My favorite is that when he looked annoyed on the sidelines when they were on, like, the 1-yard line, and Josh Allen ended up getting the rushing touchdown, but they were trying to give it to Ray Davis first. And I was like, just put James back in the game,
man. It was like Varsity Blues whenever they weren't giving the running back the touchdowns.
Yeah, give me more James Cook fantasy points.
Are we saying Sean McDermott is the equivalent to the head coach in Varsity Blues?
No, probably not.
He does have a questionable past, Sean McDermott.
That's
questionable
true.
Motivational tactics.
That's true.
Jets, congratulations to Aaron Glenn. Nimitz High School stand-up. Aaron Glenn, come from behind victory, beat Cincinnati 39-8. That was cool.
Congrats,
I was happy for Aaron Glenn and Jake
Justin
Asman.
Fields.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, after everything this week, to go out there and get the win, like, good for Justin.
No, good for Woody Johnson, I think. He motivated his quarterback to victory.
That's true, because he was crying in his closet.
The first person I thought of whenever this game was won was Aaron Glenn. I was happy for Aaron Glenn. You know, he was pretty fired up on the sideline. And then the second person I thought about was Jake Asman.
The second person?
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Yes, Nick. It was accurate.
There's no more winless teams in the NFL. Jets are on the rise.
The dream season is over. And then the Dolphins. How about this game? This was a surprise. Dolphins went into Atlanta and won by 24 against the Falcons.
I know it's Kirk Cousins and no Drake London, but man.
Yeah, they shut them down. But how did this offense score 34 points? They've been terrible recently. Tua couldn't see over the line of scrimmage, and now he's hanging 34? He's
throwing four touchdowns.
One week he can't see over the line. The next week he's slanging four touchdowns. What in the world?
Maybe they're keeping their bodies low.
The Falcons are pretenders, man.
Yes.
Like they show like a little bit of greatness. It's like, uh-oh, we're all in, and then they show you who they are.
I mean, how is this the team that played Buffalo 2 weeks ago? It doesn't make any sense. I mean, Bijan had 9 carries for 25 yards.
Yeah.
Like, is Kirk Cousins that bad?
It's ridiculous. Eagle fan, Saquon was over 10 and Tank Bigsby over 11. Refs in Philly game finally have given owners final straw to outlaw the tush push. Terrible no fumble call. I get so annoyed by the whole, we need to ban the tush push. Go do something about it, A. Brian Flores is sitting there putting his nose tackle sideways, laying on the ground trying to stop it. But then how about just don't allow fourth and ones? Like, stay out of that situation, defenses.
Yes, but I think that play was called incorrectly.
Sure, that's fine. But I hate the banning of a tush push. Oh, we're going to get rid of this very specific and niche fourth and one play. Don't be in a fourth and one. Don't be in a third and one. Go smack somebody.
No,
but sack.
The refs, I think the bigger problem is the refs here. It's like there's always offsides. They don't call it. To me, it was a clear turnover on downs on this play. I don't know how they disagreed with that, even after it was reviewed. But it's you have to officiate it correctly. That to me, like, you have to address that. And if the officials can't get it correct, I don't know what the alternative is besides get rid of it.
Yeah, just officiate it correctly. I like that idea. Kincaid is the tight end you're thinking of. It really wasn't. Pete says the best game was the Jets. Happy for Aaron Glenn. Best win's got to be the Packers blowing out the Steelers. Another texter, the Jets had the best win. Junkie says the Broncos. Eberflus defense couldn't stop a mild case of diarrhea. Not an easy thing to stop, though. Jets getting the first win. Broncos best win, says the Junkies. All right, who had the best college football win? Go Cougs. 713-780-3776. It is Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You know how much I love football? Of course you do. You know how much I love football. Football is the very, very best. One more game this week, too, on the NFL slate. You know what I really like about the NFL? I like that Underdog is a part of it. Football season's in full swing, and Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action all season long. You're in Texas. Texas is the best place to play. Best place for everything. Best place to make picks and win money on Underdog. It is so easy playing on Underdog. Pick whether your favorite players or go higher or lower on stats like rushing yards, receptions, touchdowns, more. Also on Underdogs, you can pick teams. That's right. You can pick teams. Get your picks right. You can win up to 5,000 times your cash, and you can play with as little as $1. Kansas City and Washington, the game today. Rashi Rice, I think they're going to force feed him the ball. 67.5 receiving yards. I like the higher there. Ja'Cory Kroski-Moret, the receivers are back for Washington. Kroski-Moret, 15.5 rushing yards. I like the higher there. Who are they going to throw to, those new receivers, right? No, it's going to be Ertz. Higher, 32.5 receiving yards. I know ball. You think I don't? Well, go play the other side of it. Download the app today, the Underdog app, and sign up with promo code KILLERB to score $100 in bonus funds or bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code KILLERB, KILLERB. Underdog, make picks, win money. Joe, who had the best win this weekend in college football? It doesn't matter what you think. It was the Houston Cougars, baby. 7-1 on the year. Number 22 Trash. Team in the country in the Big 12 championship race. Go, Cougs, go.
I mean, look.
Went to Arizona State and beat the nationally ranked Sun Devils. They were throwing bottles on the field. They were throwing French fries with ketchup. Almost hit my Jays. And my Cougars still came out victorious. Go, Cougs.
I think you sold them short there, Jeremy. If they're in the Big 12 championship race, that means they're in the college football playoff race.
Certainly. That goes with the territory because it's Power 4 football,
auto
baby.
Auto bid. Here
I
it comes for the
I understand how it works, Joe.
Just saying. It's like you feel like you sold them short there a little bit.
Big time win, baby. Tech blows out Oklahoma State. BYU tops Iowa State. It's a fascinating Big 12 race.
Yeah, I mean, the Cougs' schedule is not challenging.
I mean, every game in the Big 12 is a difficult game, Joe. It's like the SEC, where the lower teams in the standings cannibalize the best teams in the standings all the time. I mean, if that's the way that it's said in all these Power Four conferences, that when last place teams beat top of the table teams, that it's cannibalizing within the conference, that holds true in the Big 12.
That's true. I mean, TCU is 6-2, so that's one good game last.
It's a good football team.
It is. Best one of the weekend is Ole Miss.
West Virginia's a good football team. Who's the fourth one? West Virginia, TCU, Baylor. I'm missing one. Oh, UCF. Yes. UCF's been playing good. Scott Frost has them going. He's got the Knights going down there in the Sunshine State. So go Cougs was my answer. What's your best win?
I would say Ole Miss or Memphis.
Oh, Memphis was a good one. Beat USF.
Yeah.
That was a really nice win. I'm already, and I said this, I think, like in week four, I want the American Conference champion to represent the group of five no matter what, which I think is in play. I mean, I think it's going to happen, actually. Navy, like, we sleep on Navy. Navy's undefeated and unranked.
Yeah. Are they still unranked?
Yeah, they're 26th, the first team in the receiving votes in the AP.
Oh, they're ranked in the coaches' poll. Okay. Yeah.
Well, everybody trusts the media over the coaches. We saw that today with DJ Landry versus D'Amico.
That's true.
Media over coaches.
I mean, if Brian Kelly was voting in the coaches' poll, then I definitely don't trust it. So.
yeah, that was a good win for Memphis. Look at you. Look at you beefing up the group of five. I like that, Joe. I mean, that about you.
They're headed to a college football playoff game right now. They deserve credit. They're the highest ranked non-Power 5 team at the moment.
Power 4.
I know. I forgot. And then, like, you have this next group, like, if you look at the AP rankings, it's 25 Memphis, 26 Navy, 27 Tulane. So, like, that's a huge win for them.
USF's still in the mix there, too, huh?
Mm-hmm.
They're probably, like, they're still receiving votes. Like, the American's good. The American's a good league. Don't sleep on the American.
Yeah, USF is behind Washington and Iowa after Tulane.
Yeah.
You got San Diego State's in there. James Madison, North Texas are all in that others receiving votes.
North Texas is a pretty good story, too, now.
Yeah.
They're pretty stinking good. The Ole Miss was a good one. Beat Oklahoma. They just look like the better team. I'm surprised that was close. Ole Miss looked good in that game. What do you think Lane Kiffin's coaching next year?
I think he's coaching at LSU. But he's not the betting favorite.
Give me the odds. Actually, let's do that on the other side. Okay. Let's do that on the next segment. Brian, who had the best win of the weekend?
I would give that to the Aggies. I mean, if there's one thing that LSU could do under Brian Kelly was win night games at home. I think it was 9-1 coming into that game, and they just completely embarrassed LSU.
What was crazy about that game, too, LSU was winning at the half.
They were. It was mostly because of the turnovers. I mean, Marshall Reed threw an interception in the end zone thanks to Joe and his curse.
Doesn't matter, Brian. There was a few
other mistakes they
ACC
made.
ACC South champions. Doesn't matter, Brian.
You're right.
You're up at the half. You're up at the half, Brian.
They were, but they're only up at the half because the Aggies made mistakes. The Aggies completely rolled them in the second half.
It's insane that they had a halftime lead, and then they got beat by 100, and they fired their coach.
Well, I think part of it's because, like there, I mean, we'll get to more of it, but the second half stuff for A&M the last 2 years versus LSU, it goes back to one of the first things Brian Kelly did, and that was fire Tommy Moffitt.
Yeah, that was funny.
Like, he made they look weak in the second half, and you fired a strength and conditioning coach that's been there for 3 national championships with 3 different coaches, and A&M was the much better team in the second half. They bullied him.
They did.
Bullied is the right word. Like, they dominated in the run game. The offensive line pushed around LSU all game long.
A&M looks good, guys.
A&M
looks good. Texas rallied late to win in overtime at Mississippi State. Very lucky to win that football game.
Texas is back, folks.
They're back to beating a cellar dweller in the SEC. You're right.
Thank you, Ryan Niblett.
He's really good.
Dude is unreal.
Eisenhower's finest right there. What did you make of the Rossini report of Sark? Who are you believing here? Are you believing Rossini? Are you believing Sark, who after the game was like, that's ridiculous? And
I believe
not
Sark.
True?
Man, I'll be honest. I kind of believe Rossini. And I'm with you, Jeremy, in general. I don't think she's great at times. Like, she misses on stuff. But what's the coach going to say? Like, this is what college coaches always do. They always say, like, oh, I'm not interested. And then they leave for another college job. Oh, I'm not interested. And they take another NFL job. Like, I don't know. I think he's open to the NFL idea because I don't think he's wanted there at the moment.
Yeah, I don't know how much I trust either one, but Rossini's lost all credibility with me, so I'm gonna go ahead and go with that. I believe Sark here. I think Rossini just kind of pulls stuff out of thin air.
Yeah, I'm leaning Rossini here.
Yeah, I'm on the Sark side of it. I know it's an NFL job. There's only one, you know, it's one of 32, but I don't know. It feels like the Texas job is more appealing to me right now than the Titans job, especially working for that ownership group. And Cam Ward hasn't looked good, so it's not like he's jumping to a great young quarterback. I get that maybe some people are down on Sark this year, but a lot of that obviously is on Arch, and he's coming off of semifinal appearances in the 2 years prior. So to me, the timing doesn't make sense.
Arch in the concussion protocol.
Yep, Caldwell right. Starting this week against Vandy. We'll see.
Have they already announced that?
No, but I mean, usually you book a concussion for a full week, so I'm just planning on that, but nothing's official.
I've seen other nationally ranked quarterbacks that played the next week with a concussion. Some guys are dogs, some guys are not.
Well, I don't know if Arch is a dog.
Yeah, I mean, some guys played really well in that game as well. 713-780-ESPN. So where does LSU rank amongst the top jobs in college football? And who are the candidates? Who are the betting favorites to take over at LSU? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
YouTube TV customers, you could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Take action. Go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN.
Kelly Eco says that the Rockets are going to start Josh Okogie in place of Steven Adams tonight.
That's fun.
I would use that drop in a bit. I lost my bet over the weekend.
What was
Rockets.
That?
I bet them to cover the 5.5.
Oh, me too. I lost that one too.
They lost outright. So your boy's now 1-1 with the. Oh, they're favored by 16.5 tonight.
Yeah,
give me the points.
Big number.
Yeah, I don't. Big numbers like that in the NBA. I'm not gonna. I'm committed to bet all of them. I committed to bet all of them, Joe, for better or worse, and because I'm a gamer.
Are you committed to bet all of them on the Rockets?
Yeah, all 82.
No, like, can you pick the Nets, or are you only picking the Rockets for 82?
No,
points?
No, I can pick the other team.
Okay, gotcha.
I said I'm taking the points. I'm taking the Nets. Give me the 16.5, Joe. I got the Nets plus 16.5. Rockets win the game. Nets cover the number. But Okogie gets the start over Adams, huh? Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think they were going to start the big lineup, the jumbo lineup, every single game.
But did you think Okogie would be the guard in place of Adams?
No.
There you go. What's that's the story.
What's
that's
the
lead.
Option?
I mean, Reed.
Yeah.
Not the way he's played after the first two games, but before the season.
Before
he's not a point
season,
guard.
Yeah.
He's not a point guard, Reed.
He's not good.
He's not a point guard. He brings the ball off the floor, he tries to attack the rim, and then he makes a desperation heave kick out.
Or a bad shot. He can get it across the court.
He's a spot-up three-point shooter is what he is. So what are those actually a few texts here from the junkies. Aggies, the best win. Giggum says a junkie. Another junkies. Aggies have played no one. Their SEC opponents are 2-12. It's Power 4 football, baby. Respect Power 4 football. Robert in Beaumont. Lane Kiffin stays at Ole Miss. Space City Kev. Jeremy's right. Got to be the Cougs. Go Cougs. I've always said it, Space City Kev. If I've said it once, I've said it a million times. Space City Kev knows ball.
Biggest winner of the weekend might be Willie. He's going to get a new contract.
Great. I'm all for my friends
big, big
doing
contract.
Well. I root for you guys to do well. I root for all my friends to do well, Joe.
That's true.
I root for success and prosperity for all of the people I enjoy and I appreciate and respect in life. Is LSU the best job that's open?
Yes.
Is it the best job that's going to be open?
Yes.
Even if Sark leaves for the NFL?
I don't think Sark's going to actually go.
I don't
think anyone's going to really want him.
Yeah. I think LSU is definitely the best job available, and I think it'll definitely be the best job available. I think both of those things.
Yeah. What else could it even open that would be, besides Texas? I don't think there's anything else on our radar that would keep it open.
Would Notre Dame be bigger?
I mean, Freeman reportedly
Brian Kelly left Notre Dame for LSU, so I guess
yeah,
not.
I would say no, based on that. But the Athletic already reported that he's already turned down talks with Florida and Penn State. So,
would he turn down talks for LSU? Would LSU go back to the Notre Dame well?
Is that weird? Because I heard people talking about that with Vandy, and I mean, with Penn State, with Clark Lee.
Yeah, I think so. I think you would try to avoid it.
I don't think your fan base would like it.
I think it would make more sense at Penn State because it's been a long time. Like, Franklin was there for a long time. So
yeah.
It's a little different when it's been so far removed. Whenever it's pretty recent like Kelly, I think it – I don't think it would happen.
It's hard to go back to the well that quickly.
Yeah, it didn't work. It was pretty quick. No, I don't think so. So what are the betting – hold a second. Do you think Brian Kelly coaches again?
Yes.
I saw somebody say that there's no way he'll coach again.
I think he's already said he wants to. It's been reported. Yeah.
See, I saw another report that they talked to his agent and that Brian Kelly's going to enjoy all the money.
Well, he has to go through an interview process.
Is that in his contract?
Yeah. I guess he could go through TV. Or does that count?
Usually not.
Yeah, I think he has to interview for coaching jobs.
That's in Brian Kelly's contract.
Yeah. I heard Dan Patrick say it this morning. Andy Staples said it this morning on Dan Patrick's
show. But what does Andy Staples know on Dan Patrick?
He's a
just kidding.
College football reporter.
Kelly makes some sense to me at UCLA.
They're not just going to – I mean, I know they got killed this weekend. But, I mean, Kelly at UCLA makes sense. Virginia Tech would make sense for him.
Yeah.
I just don't know. Is he going to want one of those jobs? Or would a year away –
have to take it if he wants to coach.
What if he waits a year?
To go where? The compare it, like the equal to those schools?
I feel like if there's a bigger – there could be a better job open next year, he'd be more likely to get.
I don't know.
Like,
I don't know.
Does he have to go that low?
I think they're – like, that's not that low. It's Power 4 football, Joe.
UCLA's pretty low.
It's Power 4 football.
Virginia Tech's pretty low.
It's Power 4 football, Joe.
I guess, but – I mean, there's going to be so many jobs open. Like who knows how many jobs are going to end up seeing being open? Like, just like the trickle-down effect.
Yeah. See, I think there's value in these coaches who went to these major, major jobs and got fired. Because, like, Brian Kelly's a good coach, guys. Like,
I agree.
Like, he might not be the coach for LSU. He might not be the coach for a power program. He might not be the coach for Notre Dame. But Brian Kelly can coach. Like, he's if you want to call those, like, those openings we talked about, like, second, third-tier jobs, he's a lot better than a lot of those second, third-tier coaches.
Like, you don't think, like would he, like, I wonder, like, would he take any of these American Conference jobs
that might open? No, I don't think so. You're saying that he wouldn't take UCLA or Virginia Tech, and now you're bringing in American Conference?
Because those teams don't spend money. Like, they don't spend NIL money. Like, I think that factors in here. When it seems like Tulane, Memphis, South Florida, like, they're spending money.
I don't know. I don't know how Memphis's NIL compares to UCLA's. I don't know. I'm not privy to that information. So what are the betting favorites, Joe?
So John Summerall is the betting favorite right now.
I like him.
He's the next LSU head coach.
I think he can coach.
And then it's followed by Joe Brady, 2-1, Lane Kiffin, 4-1, James Franklin. And then Eli Drinkwitz are the top five.
So hit me with those again. You said
John Summerall, Joe Brady, Lane Kiffin, James Franklin, Eli Drinkwitz.
Franklin? No way.
Yeah, there's no way.
They're not going to hire a fired Penn State coach.
No.
Drinkwitz seems like a long shot.
I think Summerall makes more sense for Penn State. Drinkwitz.
Interesting, yeah. See, Summerall's not going to be like a – I don't know if LSU would love that hire, like the fan base. I'm not sure that they would be over the moon with that, like hiring Tulane's head coach. But I think it might be the right hire.
Well, it's kind of like
I think he can coach.
You're looking at Cignetti a little bit, right? And you're seeing like the success he's had growing so far. And I mean, Summerall he's 38-10 in the last 4 years. Two of those years are at Troy. Now he's, you know, 2 years into he's in his second year at Tulane. Like, it might make the most sense. Like, that's where some of these hires are going to come from. Because, like, if it's not Lane Kiffin, who's the next big coaching candidate right now? Like, is it? I mean, people are going to want Freeman. Like, is the Louisville coach a big enough name for people?
I like Summerall. I think Summerall makes sense there.
Yeah. I mean, I think most of them are going to want Brady, Joe Brady.
Yeah, that makes some sense, too, just because of the ties.
Like, he won a national championship as the offensive coordinator.
Yeah,
that
makes a lot of
sense. But then he left right away. So, like, why did he leave? I just don't understand. Like,
well, he got an NFL OC job.
Yeah, but it seemed like he was destined to be like a great college coach. Like, and could have got a head coaching job in college. And he went instead to coach in the NFL. Like, I'm just a little surprised. Like, it makes me feel like he doesn't like the recruiting stuff. We don't know that for sure. It just makes me feel like he doesn't like that part of the college.
No, it could be true. I mean, a lot of that's the case for a lot of people. Like, that's your point. Like, well, then why would he go back to college?
Mm-hmm.
If you can't make it at LSU and Notre Dame, you might not be that great of a coach, says a junkie. To be fair,
no one's made it at Notre Dame.
Yeah, really. But he won a lot of games.
He did, like, but he didn't like win the big ones.
Sure. I'm not arguing that. But if I'm Virginia Tech, would I be happy with Brian Kelly?
Absolutely.
Like, Brian Kelly's – like, and the thing that I would be fearful of is, like, his motivation and stuff, because he's no longer climbing the ladder. He's made a bunch of money. But if, like, you're getting Brian Kelly, like, let's not forget that Brian Kelly went to two New Year's Six games at Cincinnati before he even got to Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget that at Notre Dame he went to multiple New Year's Six games. Like, he's done a lot of winning in his career. 10 games at LSU his first season, 10 games his second season. Like, you might not win at that level that LSU fans and Notre Dame fans crave, which I get. I understand that. But if you're a second, third-tier Power 4 program and you get the Brian Kelly that Brian Kelly's resume says he is, that's pretty dang good. And then you know what else? There might not be the fear that he leaves. Because, I mean, is an LSU-caliber school going to hire Brian Kelly? Is a Tier 1 school going to hire Brian Kelly? No.
Yeah, I just, like, unless, like, a lot of jobs would have to open, I think, for him to get, like, a Tier 1 job.
How about Arkansas?
I mean, that would make sense. I just, like, would their fan base be okay with it, you think? Not that it really matters, but, like, to see him fail at LSU and then become the Arkansas coach, like, I don't know if that wins the hiring process, but also you're Arkansas. Like, they would dream to be in the position that LSU has been in.
Yeah, we say fail, but, I mean, he's been okay there. Like, not to the level, I get it. Like,
yeah.
And they demand more, I get it. But if he did at LSU, if he did at Arkansas what he did at LSU, they'd be thrilled.
Yeah.
They'd be over the moon. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Rob, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up?
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking my call. Just two comments on things you guys touched on. One, I think Joe Brady, the rumor was when he was at LSU that he did dislike recruiting a lot, and that's why he ran to the NFL as soon as he could. He went as, a quarterback's coach to begin with. He didn't start as an OC, and I've heard rumors of him getting jobs for next year as an NFL head coach. And then secondly, I know you guys were saying that the Tulane coach would be a great candidate for LSU, but why not look at, if you're looking at Tulane, then why not do Willie Fritz, who has already taken the step?
Hang up on this
Tulane,
guy. Hang up on Rob.
He's going longer. Thanks, guys.
Hang up on Rob.
Get your baggies.
Hang up on Rob. Not entertaining that nonsense.
You won't. I will. Be a great hire. Sorry, Jeremy.
713-780-3776. We're going to break. 713-780-3776. Who's your junkie of the day? 713-780-3776. Who is your junkie of the day? It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. We got a big one, 11 a.m. Saturday, the Willie Fritz-led Houston Cougars, 7-1, 22nd-ranked team in the country. Cougars welcome in the West Virginia Mountaineers into TD ECU Stadium. Get out to the game. 7-1 in the thick of the Big 12 race, in the thick of the National College Football Playoff race. Cougars firmly in it after their big win at defending Big 12 champion Arizona State. You're not going to want to miss it. UHCougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS to get your tickets now. A lot going on Saturday on campus, too. It'll be the Salute to Heroes game, so you have a chance to honor the military and first responders. Also going to bring out the 2015 Peach Bowl champions. They're going to be honored. They're going to be celebrated. And because the 2015 Peach Bowl champions are going to be there, tickets start at just $20.15, 2015. You get it? UHCougars.com/tickets, 713-GO-COUGS. Also, if you haven't heard, the Cougars lost their beloved strength coach, Kurt Hester, this past Saturday. His favorite color was black, so U of H is making Saturday's game a blackout game in his honor. So if you are coming out to the stadium, make sure you wear black in honor of Coach Hester. Number 22, Houston looking for their 8th win of the year and continue their chase for a Big 12 title. UHCougars.com/tickets or 713-GO-COUGS. We'll see you Saturday at 11. Come early, be loud, and wear black. YouTube TV customers, you could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Take action. Go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN. I sounded good on that read. Sounded like the Huntington Bank bad boy on that
read. Thanks for the time, Jeremy.
I would like to see Brian Kelly at Arkansas to see what accent he can cook up. That would be pretty funny. LOL, Jeremy, you celebrate the Peach Bowl. We celebrate national championships. Hook 'em. Okay. It's fine.
See you in the Texas Bowl, UT.
I really don't have a rebuttal.
He's right.
A lot of resources, all that, but no. Okay, touche. 1143, going to be out there Saturday at TDECU. Would love to meet you. We'll see. We'll see. See how it goes Saturday. We'll see. Are you tailgating? Are you cooking up anything good? We'll see. All right, junkie of the day, 713-780-3776. Who is your junkie of the day, Joe?
I'm going to nominate, just because I love college football and I love how this story is unraveling, I'm going to nominate the Louisiana governor for helping get the Brian Kelly firing over the finish line. And also, as it's been described, basically a collections process happening during the third and fourth quarter of the game on Saturday, in which, in the most expensive suites at Tiger Stadium, the big money people were trying to figure out who was ponying up to fire Brian Kelly mid-game. I love it. Only in college football.
Only in college football.
Only in college football can that happen.
Only in college football. I wonder what's going to happen with his buyout. Like, this is a weird thing because, what is it, like $70 million, something like that, $53 million? I can't remember the number. Mm-hmm. But it's north of $50 million, and they're trying to negotiate it down. Like, I wonder, like, they better have something on Brian Kelly if they think they can negotiate it down.
Is not firing your offensive coordinator when you're told to, and the reason why you get fired enough to...
I don't think so. Like, he's responsible for his staff.
I don't think that's cause.
Like, he probably has final say on his staff, so no, I don't think so.
Some self-reporting recruitment violations?
Yeah, which... What's illegal nowadays?
I mean, that's what they were doing with... it kind of seemed like this was happening with Bill Belichick a little bit. Remember they fired someone for something impermissible?
They suspended him. They brought him back.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they better have something on him if they expect to, like, lower that buyout. Now, maybe they could pay him one big lump sum and then, like, you know, the current value of the dollar, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe they could agree to something like that.
Or they could have called J.G. Wentworth. I need my money now.
Yeah. Yeah. 1-800...
Go the other way. Did you go the other way? The Bobby Bonilla of college football?
Yeah. $1 million for the next 50 years?
That's already what they're doing. Like, they're already paying him his salary for the remainder of his contract.
Yeah, but I'm saying like full Bobby Bonilla, like paying like $2 million
bucks July 1st every year
for the next 60 years.
So you're saying to get him to defer more payment?
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of old. Why would he want to do that?
He can't wait 60
so
years.
He's losing the current value of the dollar. And he's pushing it till later in his life when he wouldn't be able to enjoy it or might not be with us. Hopefully not. So I think that the only chance is that he takes a lump sum of less money.
Yeah.
But is LSU going to fork over $40 million lump? I don't know. That's tough. Now, if he wants to coach again, it would make more sense to do the lump payout. But we'll see. We'll see how that goes. My junkie of the day is, however you say her first name, Russini. Diane Russini.
It's Diana. That's a normal name.
She doesn't deserve it to have her name called correctly.
I mean, that part's fair.
D. Russini, Princess Diana Russini, for making up stories again, maybe. We don't ever know if reports are true or if coaches are telling the truth. But I'm not a big fan of Russini. She's on my Mount Rushmore of sports media members I do not like. And I think she's making up this Sark thing. She's been caught making up stuff in the past. Just Google Russini being wrong. George Kittle called her out for it. I'm not a Russini fan, and she is my junkie of the day for creating, stirring up drama.
Mm. That's a worthy nomination. I've got two nominees. One, Israel called in earlier. We got his name wrong, but he didn't know who CMC was, apparently, or at least didn't know his name, so I think he deserves a nomination. And then also Terry Bradshaw. I'm not sure what happened in this clip we're about to hear of him talking about calling Andy Reid, but it was quite amusing.
But the thing that I would worry about more so in Washington is the other day I text Andy Reid, and I got a text back, and I thought it was Andy Reid, but it was some guy selling pigs. But I sounded good. I should have told y'all that, so y'all would have thought I actually talked to Andy Reid, but I didn't really talk to Andy Reid.
I wish you could see the people behind the cameras, because they're like...
The point is...
So he apparently talked to a pig farmer, not Andy Reid, but...
Yeah, that's
the first time I heard it. I thought he said pigs.
No,
I didn't realize he said pigs.
Guy selling pigs. Yeah, I'm not sure why he decided to tell the world that, but that's Terry Bradshaw.
You think he's being truthful?
Yeah, no, I think he's just
telling a story.
I think Terry Bradshaw's being serious. He doesn't strike me as the one that does things just for the bit.
What? Terry Bradshaw's known for that.
I don't know, Jeremy. Like, I think I'm with Brian here a little bit. Like, I'm worried. Like, morally, we can't put him on this list much longer.
You think he's slipping?
I'm getting some, like, Lee vibes, Lee Corso vibes a little bit.
Y'all realize Terry Bradshaw had a reality show, right?
I know.
I just mean, like, I don't think he's making up a story about calling a pig farmer just for the sake of it.
I think he was.
I think he's just truthful to a fault.
I think it was a bit.
You think he just made it up out of thin air?
It's Terry Bradshaw. Like, he does this all the time.
Eh.
Go back. What do you mean, eh? It's a fact he makes this stuff up.
I think you're mistaken the intent for just, like, the kind of the folksy southernness of, that he, like, portrays himself as. I don't think it's a bit. I think this is just who he is.
He's silly all the time.
Yeah, that's my point. This is who he is.
But I think he's silly in making up a story. You're saying it's a legit story. You think he actually texted a
It's such a weird story to make up. Oh, I called Andy. I think I texted Eddie Reed, but it turned out to be a guy selling pigs. I don't think Terry Bradshaw's just making up that story.
He's known for making stuff up like that up.
Nah.
Nah.
I'm a little concerned. A little concerned about Mr. Bradshaw.
Was that an Andy Reid fat joke? See? It's a bit.
But what was Washington worried about? He didn't finish the story.
Oh, they're playing the Chiefs. They're playing the Commanders. That was the joke. The hog mollies.
Yeah, seems like a stretch.
Nah, that was not legit.
It's a very bad
joke. You got fooled. You got got, Brian.
You're getting fooled.
No, I'm not.
Oh, come on.
They're playing the Commanders. Such they wear the pig winkers. Junkie says Scott Woodward and his ability to award contracts with ridiculous payouts. He paid Jimbo in College Station, too.
Yes.
Paid Jimbo, paid Brian Kelly. All right, what's winning?
Israel, my known CMC?
Yeah, for sure.
That's pretty good. Congratulations, Israel. Your car wreck of the day. World Series coming up at 8. Bucky McMillan, Bucky Ball, baby. It's coming up at 7 o'clock. Thanks to Brian for the hard work. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Good night, Houston.
YouTube TV customers, you could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, College Game Day, Monday Night Football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Take action. Go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.